Ephesians 6, verses 14 and 15, that's what Simon's asked me to talk about. You hopefully have read them before. Loins of truth, girt about your loins with truth, breastplate of righteousness, glad tidings of peace. Just heard from Lewis, if you were listening. Paul wrote this centuries ago, and he wrote it to some Christians in a place called Ephesus, and he was writing because he said there's some enemies coming against you because you're a Christian, and you need to be able to stand. That's what he said. The main thing that Paul is saying is it's not really about standing. It's about what he's talking about is getting ready to stand. That's what putting on this armour is about. It's getting ready to stand. And Paul's drawing, as Lewis had just told you, on the idea of a soldier wearing armour. A helmet, a sword, a breastplate. That's a Roman soldier. It's a very simple idea. But the first verse is a bit weird. Paul says, stand therefore, having done this, girding about your loins with truth. Now some translations that you read will say putting on the belt of truth, which is okay. But I actually like this translation. It has a bit more meaning to it, as you'll see in a second. Girding up your loins is a very, very old-fashioned expression, and it just means get ready. Get ready. And this is why it means get ready. You see that soldier? It's a Roman soldier in that picture. He's wearing a helmet, he's wearing a breastplate, and he's wearing this short little miniskirt. See that? It's not exactly very manly, and I doubt whether you'd want to argue the point with a soldier, but it's designed so that you can move around, and you can fight, and you can be agile. And you see, I don't really think that Paul was writing about Roman soldiers. I can't find a picture, but I think he was writing about Jewish soldiers. And most of the time, Jewish soldiers, when they were not fighting, they weren't wearing anything like that at all. They were wearing something like this. Now, that picture was not taken 2,000 years ago. They didn't wear shades. I doubt whether they had ID passes. But I think they probably, from what Paul's saying, wore something like a tunic, like that, a one-piece cloth. And you can imagine that if you jump around in that and try and fight, it's not going to be too easy. But the ancient Jews did something like this, apparently, when they were getting ready to fight. Girded up their loins, tucked them in the belt, and they were ready. Now, you get the general idea about girding up your loins. Once they've done that, now they're ready for action. And that's all that Paul's saying. He says there's something you need to do as a Christian to get ready for action. And you can make all sorts of stories up from this and draw lots of themes out of it, like, you know, get rid of unnecessary things from your life. But it seems Paul's not talking about anything like that. He's quite specific. Go to the next slide. Paul is talking about girding your loins with truth. He's saying there's something about truth which will help you get ready for action. The next slide, please. You have to quick click quite fast here. Truth. So we need to think about truth for a minute. God loves truth. The psalmist says, you will have truth. God wants you to have truth in your innermost parts. God wants you and I as Christians to have truth right inside, at the core of you, truth. The Bible says, and it's a bit that big statement, Jesus is the truth. Too big a statement for today. But this next one is more helpful. The Bible says Jesus is full of grace and truth. Can you imagine somebody who's full of truth? Full. Just pause that a minute. Full of truth. It's okay. Pause that. And if it helps you, because it helps me, I often like to think in contrasts. If you want to think about what it's like to be full of truth, just pause for a moment and imagine that you were full of lies and deceit and secret things. Karen, would that help you serve God? Would it help you serve Jesus? To have lies inside you, to be living a lie, having secrets that you're ashamed of? Would that help you? And Paul says, hopefully, no. But Paul does say, what Paul is saying here, is he's saying the truth will help you as a Christian in your life. It will help you. Love the truth. Speak the truth every day. Read the truth. It's in the Bible. Think about things that are true. Paul is saying to these Christians in Ephesus long ago, you're going to be facing an enemy, you need to get ready. And Paul is saying to them that the starting point for getting ready for serving Jesus, the starting point, is to gird up your loins with truth. Think about things that are true. Read the truth. Get truth right there inside you. The second thing I need to talk about is the breastplate of righteousness. And here, leave it for a minute, I need another volunteer. And I would like Tom, please. You probably know what a breastplate is. You've seen the pictures. But I've got to bring one. It doesn't fit me. Pop that on. I just want to make a really simple point here. Right. Stand about there. That's fine. Everybody see Tom? Just stand there, look at the others. Yeah. Right, Tom. Attack me. Okay, thank you. You can sit down for a minute. A point I wanted to make. Leave this like a pen. The point I wanted to make is that he attacked me. Did you see it? He attacked me with a sword. He didn't attack me with a breastplate. Don't know if you noticed that. Nobody ever attacks anyone with a breastplate. It's not designed for that. It's for defence. Paul is talking about something that you need to do that will defend you, that will keep you safe, it will protect you. Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. He says, righteousness will protect you. And when I grew up, I thought righteousness looked like that. Don't do that. Christians, don't do that. Don't go there. Christians, don't go there. Don't think about that. Don't read that. Don't and don't and don't. I thought that's what righteousness was. And if I went to a Christian meeting and somebody started talking about righteousness, I turned off and I didn't listen. I didn't want to hear any more don'ts, squeezing the fun out of life. I thought righteousness looked like this. And there is actually some basis for thinking that, because if you go back to the Ten Commandments, does anybody know how many of the Ten Commandments start with thou shalt not? The answer is seven. Seven out of ten start with thou shalt not. God does say don't quite a lot. And even Adam's original sin started when God said to them, don't eat of that fruit of that tree, don't do something. So it all started with a don't. But you see, when I was growing up and I was listening to the don'ts, there was always something nagging in my mind upside down in the bottom right hand corner of my thoughts somewhere. And it was this little thing here that says, Jesus loves righteousness. So does that mean Jesus loves all this? Is that what Jesus loves? He loves saying don't to people? Don't do this and don't do that and don't do something else? I just want you to look at the ceiling for a minute so you're not looking at anybody else. I just want to take just a few moments and think about Jesus. Just think about you. Just think about that life, those 3 years from when he started teaching until just before he died. Think about Jesus, just for a moment. What does Jesus really like? Oh, look at the slide. Were you thinking about all the things Jesus didn't do? When you think about Jesus, is that what leaps to mind? Oh, he didn't steal. Oh, he didn't commit adultery. Oh, he didn't want other people's things. The Ten Commandments says don't do that. Got seven don'ts. Have a look at this. What were you thinking this? Is that what you think when you think about Jesus? In those quiet moments in your life when you think about your Saviour, is that what you think about? Do you think, wow, he was kind? Do you think, he loved so much? He gave so much? He was so unselfish? He was so pure? Is that what you think about when you think about Jesus? Because that's what righteousness is like. Not the don'ts. That's what righteousness is like. It's being like Jesus. Hold it there for me. It's being like Jesus. My brother's got a book of cartoons. which he keeps in his bathroom. If you're lying in the bath and you fancy a read through a book of cartoons, it's okay, it's supplied, it's by the side of the bath, a bit damp. And there's a cartoon in there, which I rather like, sort of stuck with me. There's this tall old Christian, looking very sober, and serious, and gloomy. And there's this little boy, looking up at the Christian. And the Christian says to the little boy, "I've been a Christian for 40 years. And the little boy looks up and he says, "So, how come you're not very nice then?" And there's something of that in righteousness. God wants you and me as Christians to be like Jesus. But you see, it's not as simple as just being kind and just being nice. Tim and Steph have got two little children. Kezzy's the eldest. They tell Kezzy plenty of times, I hope, don't do this and don't do that. Because they love her. And they want to protect her. They say don't run out into the road. One day they'll say don't swear. They say if you take her to the zoo, don't jump in with the tigers. There's a good reason to say don't. But one day I imagine, I haven't asked them, one day when she grows up, I imagine Tim wants to look at his little daughter and he wants to think, oh, she's just like her mum. I imagine Steph wants to look at her little daughter one day and think, oh wow, she's just like the better bits of her dad. And they probably want her to be kind, and they probably want her to love, and they probably want her to be unselfish, and they probably want her to be pure and holy. But they can't get there without the don'ts. You need to listen to God's don'ts in the Bible, and you need to look at what he really wants at the end of it all. He wants you to come out like Jesus, kind and unselfish and pure and holy and thinking and doing good things and loving. That's what he wants. He needs the don'ts to get what he wants. And Paul calls all of that together. He calls it righteousness. And he says, as you go through life and you do good things and you do the things that Jesus wants you to do in your life, it's like a protection. It's like an armour. If you're always being unselfish, or put it the other way around, if you're always being selfish, then Satan has a way into you. It's a weakness. If you're always doing what you want to do and not what somebody else wants to do or God wants you to do, he has a way in. If you're proud, he has a way in. If you lie, he has a marvellous way in. How many times have you and I lied? And then you've covered it up with another lie. And then another lie. And then you wish you hadn't started. Paul is saying, don't start. Live your life rightly before God. It's like armour, it's like a protection. Paul is saying, in these first two verses, be ready to serve. If you've got a heart filled with truth, you will be ready to serve. And you'll find protection from temptation and from Satan. If your life is led rightly before God, that's what he said. And now I want to talk to you about the glad tidings of the gospel of peace. Just pause it there for a minute. The gospel of peace is the gospel that most of you know so well. It's the gospel that came from Jesus. It's the story of how God loved you and me. Last week, Lewis talked about it. It was Remembrance Sunday. And all over the country, there were services where people remembered those that had died. That's okay. And a lot of the prayers that people prayed were about, Lord, please let us live in peace amongst the nations. Please let there be an end to wars. That's okay. It's good to pray that there might not be wars. But Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace on earth. He said there will always be wars and rumours of wars, right until the end. And the gospel of peace isn't about bringing peace on earth. It's a different sort of peace. It's the peace that Jesus offers to you and me. Peace between me and my God. Peace between you and your God. It's the peace that he brought with his sacrifice at Calvary. That's the gospel of peace. The Bible says Jesus preached peace. He came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those that are near. It says he made peace by the blood of his cross. It says he is our peace. But it also says something else in this little verse about peace. And I want to show you. Paul is saying that what he wants you to do as a Christian, this third thing that he wants to do, if you have a look at it, he says it's like putting on shoes. He's not really talking about the glad tidings or the gospel of peace. He's talking about putting on shoes, getting ready, so that you can explain the gospel of peace to people. The verse is about getting ready. It's about putting on shoes. I've got two suggestions for how you can get ready to explain to someone the gospel of peace. How you can get ready to preach it or talk to people as individuals. And some of you were here last year and I wasn't. And I'm guessing you talked about evangelism at length. But here's my two suggestions. One is get your heart ready. Lewis talked about having favourite verses. The next verse I'm going to show you is a really long one, and my favourite bit's right in the middle. It's the Apostle Paul speaking. He's writing to the Corinthians, and it's in chapter 2. And he says, "When I came to you, brothers, I didn't come proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And it's this bit I like. He says, "I was with you, in weakness and in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." My point is just this. One of the things you need to do, it's like putting on shoes, but you need to do it. If you haven't got your shoes on, you're not ready. If I'd asked Ian to nip out there and run across the lawn, he'd put his shoes on first and then he'd be ready. That's all Paul's saying. Paul says if you're serious as a Christian about explaining to people what the gospel's about, it's like putting on shoes. You need to prepare yourself. And this is about preparing your heart. When you come to tell somebody, you will probably feel like this. Weakness. Lewis talked about it. Fear. Maybe trembling. You'll think my speech, my message, the things I'm going to say, it's not going to make sense. It won't make sense. And then you do. And this is my recommendation to you. You do what thousands, millions of Christians have done before you. You pray something like that to Jesus. And you say, "I really want to tell my friend about you. Don't know how to do it. Don't really know the right words. I'm not going to be clever at this. And in any case, even if I was, that's not what I want. What I want is you, Jesus. I want my Heavenly Father to reach out to my friend and do this thing that I can't do. Reach into their heart with the word of the Spirit and make them see and understand. That's what I want. Help me do that, please." My suggestion to you is, if you're telling somebody about Jesus, whether you're standing up and preaching, whether you're telling one to one, my suggestion to you is you talk to Jesus first and you say, "Please help me, because I can't do this." And my second suggestion is learn what happened at the cross. And you might think, "Well, that's a bit weird." You might think, "Well, every Christian knows what happened at the cross," but you can't tell what you don't know. You see, I got saved when I was about 19. And I thought that I could tell people if I needed to what Jesus did and what the gospel was all about. And then someone asked me, it was Ian's brother actually, asked me when I was 19 to come to his Christian meeting and preach the gospel. And I went. I stayed the night with him. Slept in his lounge, remember it well, because I remember what I was doing. The night before I thought, "Right, what shall we read?" And I realised, although I trusted Jesus, I didn't really know what happened at the cross. In my heart I'd gone to him and I'd said, "Please forgive me my sins," and he'd forgiven me. I believed he was God's son. But if somebody said to me, "Start with where Pilate let Jesus go and take me through exactly what happened to the point at which he died," I didn't really know. And I had to sit down that night and read what the four gospels said. How they brought that crown of thorns. How they brought the wood for the cross. How they brought the nails. How they brought, somebody brought Simon to carry the cross. How each gospel writer says that they crucified him. All four gospel writers, it's one thing that they all say, they crucified him. Now read the words that Jesus said from the cross. From "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," right through to the end where he says, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," and he died. And I suggest you read it as well. Don't just read it this time with a view to just being interested. But read it. Read those verses in the Gospels. Just those bits of the verses. And read it as if you were going to have to explain it to somebody tomorrow. Do you know? Paul says, stand therefore. Stand. He says, gird up your loins with truth. Just immerse yourself in truth, speaking truth, reading the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Lead a life before God that's right. Do the things he wants to do. Become like Jesus. Don't do the don'ts. Be kind. Be unselfish. Love. Give. Be generous. Be like Jesus. It'll protect you. And put your shoes on. Get yourself ready. So that when the moment comes, you can tell somebody what happened to Jesus and what he did for you.